This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Come get some. Beware,
I live. IGN GameScoop.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I am your host, Damon Hatfield. With me this week is Brian Altano. Mitch Dyer is here. Yo. And Justin Davis.
Hey, guys.
We've been on a little bit of a break. I was at Comic-Con, then I was visiting family in Kansas, so we're back after 2 weeks. I missed all of you listeners dearly. Happy to be back talking to you into your ears. This week was a little strange. There wasn't a lot of big news going on with video games this week.
So we missed you too, Damie, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I do miss you guys very much when I'm not here. It actually drives me crazy when I can't be in the office working and making cool videos with you guys. Yeah. But yeah, on weeks like this when there's not big news, we like to hand the keys of the podcast over to the listeners and just focus on listener mail. I get hundreds of emails every week from listeners. I can't ever get to them all. So on weeks like this, we can get to a few more emails, you know, get to hear from more of the listeners.
Yeah.
Listeners, remember, you can always reach us at gamescoop@ign.com, just like Michael Van Heis did.
Yep. Sure.
He's got a question about a card game called Magic the Gathering. Well, I don't know if anyone here has ever heard of it.
I've heard of it. Yeah,
I've heard of it.
I'm aware that
Brian's tired of hearing of it.
He says, Michael says, in a previous podcast, you mentioned Loving Magic 2013, the video game. Do you play the physical card game still? If so, what color do you play? So,
okay, is this just going to be the Magic podcast?
Well,
no, it's
just
not.
a renewed interest in the Magic the Gathering card game here at IGN among the IGN editors.
It's really taken over.
It's been more of like a cultist uprising, mm-hmm. I'd say.
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah, it sort of just swept the office.
Now,
yeah.
I love, you're right, I love Magic 2013, the video game, but I have not yet, I have to buy new decks, and I haven't joined in on the gaming that's going on in the office here, but Justin and Ryan Clements in particular are super into it.
I think that's true. I think Ryan and I have probably fallen down the Magic rabbit hole the deepest. I have spent a shockingly large amount of money on Magic cards over the last month.
So tell us, how much? What are we going to go? What's going to shock us here? $500?
Will your wife hear this? Will you be sad?
So it's closer to 500 than it is to zero.
Jesus, holy.
Now, why? So you just bought like a starter deck, and then what happens?
So in my case, I'm a collector, right? That's sort of my personality. And so my instinct is, well, I want to have one of everything now. And there's like 12,000 Magic cards that have been printed since the game started. So
wait, you're trying to collect every single one?
Well, I mean,
like in history?
That would be like the stretch goal, yes. That's
so
what
the Magic cards that come out now are still, they still play with the ones that, like, when I bought a starter deck when I was in sixth grade, which was
me too. Yeah.
Many, many.
Sit out, Brian. You can play with us.
No. No, what happened with me is I went and spent like $20 on cards, and this kid like was trying to explain how to play, and he just straight up hustled me. And he took like half my cards, and he's like, "That's how this works." And I was like, "I'm never gonna go mow lawns and give you my shit again. This is dumb." So never played again.
Yeah. So you know, without getting too far into the weeds, there's different types of tournaments, and sort of the main type, the type that's most popular, plays with cards that are, you know, recent, the most you know, the last year or two. Mm-hmm. And then there are formats that let you use sort of any card that's ever been printed as well. So yeah, I mean, Ryan and I are into it. We got our illustrious beard in chief Casey into it. Mitch is on board. He's got some cards.
Yep.
Pretty much the whole PC team's on board. It really has swept
Nintendo
IGN editorial.
Team is on board. They came out of the closet as like huge super fans.
And this is what I discovered. Like, we, you know, Ryan and I were playing one day, and we, you know, IGN's a safe place to pursue your nerd.
It probably is.
Nude pursuits or your nerd pursuits. You know, it's a safe space.
What if you're
here.
A nude nerd?
Well, see, that I don't know about. But anyway, I was a little concerned that, you know, people might be... Magic's a very nerdy thing, right?
I'm still trying to wrap my head around that one. I'm sorry. Nude. How do you figure that out? Like, you can't see... It's like the Emperor's new utility kilt.
Yeah.
It's invisible. Keep going. I'm sorry.
Where's I going with that? Oh, so then I found out that there's all kinds of closeted Magic people in the office. They're like, "What? You got Magic the Gathering cards? I'm going to go dig mine out of the closet." And then it's become this whole thing. It's taken over.
Yeah.
We play every Tuesday. We have casual Magic Tuesdays now.
I'm like the old man in the corner. I'm like, "Get back to work."
Yeah, it really is. You, Colin Moriarty, and Greg, are you like the only three in editorial that aren't playing?
Damon's not playing.
Gofarm's not
playing either.
Gofarm is adamantly against
Gofarm
it.
Gofarm is militantly against.
He's not
picking it up. So the question was, are we playing? Yeah, I mean,
yeah. To answer your question, Mike, yes.
Do you still tap mana pools in that game?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
You tap so much mana.
You tap that.
That's all I remember. That
and tap that mana.
And there was some kid in school got his Shivan Dragon card stolen. He was crying.
Oh no!
I think that was a big deal. This is all my Magic anecdotes. So, like, they're all out there.
My friends and I played Magic when we were in like high school and in college. Mm-hmm. We never knew that rule that like when you lose a card. Mm. We weren't aware of that. That would have made things much more interesting.
I think it's bullshit is why. Yeah.
It makes things much more interesting, I think.
And
I
guess that rule's actually been deprecated. Like you don't play with anti like rules anymore.
Really?
Yeah. It's just friendly.
Okay. That's how we always play it.
So. Yeah.
Speaking of nude nerds.
Uh oh.
Go on.
There was that whiny article this week about the guy who was like, I'm sick of these hot girls.
Oh, God. Yeah, the CNN article?
Yeah.
It was like dorkgeeks.cnn.com. Like, really?
Get these hot girls out of our cons.
It is generally a good blog, for the record. But, okay.
Is it? I mean, it just seems like it seems like a weird place to read something like that. I understand CNN trying to be all-encompassing, but they are a news site at the end of the day. It's like if we sent a dude to Syria.
So I missed this. What...
He was complaining that there are sort of imposter nerd girls that go to cons that just dress sexy just to get attention from the guys that
are
there.
Those are called actresses.
The fake nerd girls, the fake gamer girls. Not actresses that are like hired to be there, but people that figured out that maybe they're not hot enough to like make it in the real world, but in the nerd world they get fawned all over.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a thing?
Sure.
I mean, apparently, and it bothered this guy, this blogger.
But it's just like, to me, if you have a girl that even has a little bit of interest that she shares with you, like, embrace it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to be like, "Oh, you like Batman? Yeah, I like Batman a little bit. What's your favorite issue?" It's like, I like the movies. I like some of the act. What's your favorite comic book issue? Which one? Which is your least favorite villain? You don't know? Get out of here, you fucking imposter. Like, leave her alone.
Yeah.
Because she's going to leave, and then a bunch of fat dudes and utility kilts are going to come in her place. And that's going to be your cons forever. So if that's what you want, if that's your con utopia, then sure, like, scare them all away. But I say embrace them. Have them come and join our nerd culture. Like, our nerd culture is only getting bigger.
Yeah.
We're only letting more people in.
Shouldn't we be inclusive? Like,
absolutely.
I mean, what? So what if they don't know their nerd culture?
Like, why do we have an arbitrary threshold that you have to cross this point to be defined as an actual nerd? Otherwise, you're an imposter.
Plus, what harm is actually being done?
None.
There's a hot girl there. What harm is being caused by it?
Nothing at all.
Right.
I mean, why get mad at that? I don't understand. Like, I mean, I don't think this is a... Actually, it's not like a secret club anymore. Like, our dork movies now outperform anything else. You know, like our comic books become huge things. Our TV shows become huge things. Like, graphic novels become the Walking Dead TV show, which becomes the biggest thing on television. Like, this is not a secret club anymore. Like, the nerds won. So don't scare them away.
I always saw that where I see this crop up is when you find out celebrities play World of Warcraft. Yeah. You know, Mila Kunis?
Celebrities. Yeah. They're just like us.
So, yeah. So she plays World of Warcraft, and then she got quizzed on World of Warcraft on some late show and got some stuff wrong. And then people are like, there's no auction house in that city. I can't believe, you know. And it's like, well, like, it's not enough that she plays the game. She needs to have encyclopedic knowledge.
Right. You're not allowed to just like shit anymore.
Yeah. You have to be. You have to write the wiki for it. Like, that's not fair. Mila Kunis is not writing the Warcraft wiki. She's too busy being gorgeous.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of time. Dave will tell you all about it.
Justin, how do you think this guy's name is pronounced?
Oh, my God.
Mila Kunis.
Faison Moker?
No, that can't possibly be right.
Okay, so now...
I think he told me to just go screw myself in Italian.
Yeah.
Faison Moker, yeah.
Big Game Scoop fan, Faison Moker.
Faison Moker. Okay, sure.
We'll go with that.
It's not a real name.
I need the email, actually. I did not memorize the email. Faison Moker says... I have had only a Wii and no other game system.
Whoa.
I've had it since it came out, and I have finally lost complete interest in it. I'm wondering if it's too late to get a PlayStation 3, or should I just wait for something like the Wii U or another next-gen console?
There has never been a better
time. Faison Moker. Come on, now.
Every day has never been a better time to jump into the next generation.
You don't miss out. Like, if you get a PlayStation 2 right now, you can get an amazing library of awesome games
for like $100. Well,
yeah, but don't do that. Get a PlayStation 3.
Get a PS3, and then you can play most of
those. You have 6 years of amazing games to catch up on.
It's such a huge library.
They're all dirt cheap now, too.
Yeah, the games are super cheap. The console will be like $150, $200 maybe, whatever. I don't know.
It's not like you bought a PS3 at launch for $600 and sat there going, man, what do I do with this thing?
Yeah, the games are super cheap.
Even if the next-gen consoles do launch next year, like everyone's starting to think they are, like that doesn't devalue the PS3. It doesn't mean you shouldn't play it. Absolutely get on board.
Yeah. Also, if you've only played a Wii and you're finally going to jump in, like, this is going to blow your
mind. It's going to blow your mind.
It's going to be like Rip Van Winkle waking up like 100 years in the future and there's flying cars everywhere. It's going to be insane.
Yeah. But you still hear stats about people that, like, some huge percentage of Xbox 360 players don't have HD televisions. And it's like, what are you doing?
Well, yeah, definitely sort that out, Faison Moker, because that's something. I mean, call the Geek Squad or something. Go online, do a tutorial, like sort that out.
I wonder where Faison Moker lives. Like, is that on another planet?
If he's only owned a Wii, then yeah, he pretty much does live on another planet.
This is Mike Nunez. He's a scoop. I know you guys probably get asked this question a lot, but just to clarify, I'm a newcomer to reviewing games. I'd like to know your process on reviewing games. Do you guys go step by step with the game and take notes as you go? Or do you just finish the game and write based on a fresh memory? Thanks, your loyal listener, Mike Nunez.
I used to take notes, but I've been reviewing games for a long time, like 10 years now. And then I eventually sort of stopped. I realized I wasn't reading them. You know, I wasn't referencing them. So now I don't need to take notes. I think if you're new to this business, I highly recommend it. People think they'll remember things, but you won't. You know, make notes of things that you want to make sure you bring up.
Definitely. Yeah, I used to take a lot of notes as I reviewed games. But then I noticed that when it came time to write the review, my notes would be about, like, smaller, like, nitpicky stuff.
Yeah.
You know? And I think it's better to just, like, play the game and then... When you finish the game, like, what do your big takeaway, your high-level comments on the game, right? Because, like, that's what your review should be about. Your review isn't going to be – shouldn't be an exhaustive list of every feature in the game. It should be a high-level overview. Is this game fun or not? Why or why not? Yeah. And that's, like, what you take away on your own when you beat a game without writing detailed little notes.
And a lot of those detailed notes, like, you'll write, like, I can't get past this fucking encounter. It's driving me insane. In the grand scope of things, that will not matter at all. You will forget that.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't reviewed nearly as many games as you guys because I'm more oriented towards features. But along the same pattern, I'll like a sentence will pop in my head that's just like, this is something I want to say about this experience.
Sure, there's that.
Rather than the blue ghost in level 4 really irked me. Like, that's useful to nobody.
So more recently, I've actually been taking voice notes with my phone. Like, I'll just keep my phone on, like, on my lap or whatever, and I'll just keep it on pause, and I can just take a quick note, be like, oh, I noticed this really thing, and this is pretty, and same thing, if a sentence comes to mind, I can just crib from there. I actually used to not take notes at all, but I have been more recently, just for the sake of having written something down about it, even if I don't read it later, which I often don't, like that thought is now in my mind because I've written it down.
Was he asking for other just general tips? Is that what the question was?
I think, just general tips on what our process is for reviewing games.
So I mean, IGN is tough. The deadlines are so tight, but whenever possible, I try to leave myself time to let something sit for a while and then come back to it, you know, a day or two later. I try to get things finished. I think, you know, you're really sort of intensely staring at the Word document and then you can't even really see errors or anything like that anymore. And if you let it sit and come back to it, then that stuff just pops right out and you'll see things that need to be changed or awkward or you're using the same word over and over.
Yeah.
or even like hyperbole, you can get really excited about something.
Yeah.
Well, and realize, sleep on it, you come back like, oh, okay, that's not nearly as awesome as I thought it was yesterday.
And that's another problem that I used to have when I was newer that I hope I don't do anymore, but I used to give things, high scores or low scores that really probably should have been somewhere in the middle. Or the text would read, too positive or too negative when it probably should have been somewhere in the middle.
And obviously the one thing we always avoid is trying not to do boilerplate. Like, the graphics are, the music is, and what about those gameplays? Like, nobody wants to do that. Compartmentalized, broken down paragraphs.
The gameplays were really good, though,
to
be fair.
Sometimes they were.
Also, have someone read your work.
Yep.
Like, even if it's just some friend that isn't necessarily a writer, have them read it, have them give you feedback. Having an editor
read your shit
capacity.
Out loud, too, so it sounds like an adult is speaking.
That's actually a great point. I read all the work that I do out loud.
Yep.
And if it sounds awkward to say out loud, then it's probably too awkward to be on the page. I have a question for you guys.
Dear GameScoop, my name is Justin.
Please go through the appropriate channels. GameScoop@IGN.com.
I'll send you a text, dear GameScoop. Do you guys revise as you go, or do you finish a draft and then go back? Like, do you just bang it all out until the whole draft is done, and then
why did
go
you
back?
Look at me like that when you said bang it all out?
You gave me the look.
You gave me this look.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure.
A bit of both. Like, I edit on the fly, but ultimately, like, when that's done, I don't think, all right, I edited on the fly, this is perfect. I will always come back, especially after I have someone else do an edit. I'll come back and read the whole thing again.
Yeah, man. How are you not just always editing on the fly? It just seems like that's
fucked
something.
Up that word, cat. Stop. Keep talking.
Keep going. Keep going.
Yeah, that's what some people do. That's just a frantic sprint to get to the end. Just get it all out. Get it all on
that's
the page.
Casey does that.
Yeah, right. Let's be honest. I think we know of some writers in our midst that may be like that.
That's not bad. It's just different. Like, the presumption is that they're going back through from, then at the very top and going through it. See, I don't. I will obsess and stress over each individual sentence, but then when that sentence is done, it's done. And when I've typed the final word, I change almost nothing. That article is pretty much ready to go.
I'm weird in that I'll write chunks that go all over the map and then build around them.
See, I don't do that.
Yeah. It's strange for me. And then I'll go, hey, that second paragraph made a way better intro. Because I wasn't even thinking of writing as an intro, and then I'll swap things around.
But intros almost always become my conclusions.
Yeah.
Yeah, and another thing that I used to do when I was new to writing reviews is I wouldn't know how to start. And so I'd write these big intros and then continue on my way. And then I almost found that I could drop paragraph one, just completely exit out, and it's gone. And paragraph two becomes paragraph one, and I wouldn't lose anything.
It's hard to believe it's been 5 years since the last
year. Yeah, don't do that.
I hate all that stuff.
I have a question now. So if you guys can't write, if you have like momentary writer's block, what do you do?
Take a walk.
Yeah, do something else.
Yeah,
work on something else.
Yeah, I mean, there's
we live in a beautiful city, so usually I get up and this happens a lot when I'm doing stuff for Up at Noon. Like, writing comedy scripts is a totally different thing where I can't do the, hey, I'm going to put this thing here and then we'll build up to it. I mean, you can if you have a joke here and there, but I'll just get up and take a walk around the block, clear my head.
And if it's a writer's block on a review, I think playing the game helps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Play some more. Pick up the game again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I usually just do other work. Like, if I'm having a hard time writing that day or focusing,
That's
it's like
sad. I don't like that.
There's no shortage of, like, email to answer and screenshots to upload and, videos to upload and blah, blah, blah. So I just, I work on something else.
I mean, I do something similar, but I try not to write work stuff because then I kind of confuse the two and I get muddy. But, I always try writing other things, like not game related things, like
erotic fan fiction.
Erotic fan fiction, write a short story, write about
a movie. I'm
working on a
book called Nude
music.
Nerds.
Nude Nerds. 2015.
Mitch
is there a Kickstarter? Because I'll back it.
Can we make it a collectible card game? It was sweet by IGN.
There you go. Mitch is working
the
on
the Kickstarter.
Nose
is just buy all these nude nerds some clothes.
Some
shorts.
I summon my sexy Batwoman.
I'm working on the next.
How
50
much does sexy Batwoman know about actual Batwoman lore? Because otherwise,
I know, right?
Get the fuck out.
Okay, this is Timothy Wisenhunt.
Good name.
He has a medical gaming-related question.
Dr. Mitch is here for you.
Yeah, well, so we're not doctors, first of all.
I know a little thing you didn't know about me.
Love, doctor.
Yeah.
Tim says, my name is Tim.
Hi, Tim.
My question for you doesn't directly involve games, but a curiosity. I'm 29 and an avid gamer, or well, I used to be. I don't play much now. I have carpal tunnel syndrome. I work customer service for a cell phone company. I got Diablo 3, and that's when it began. My question is, how do you avoid getting carpal tunnel? Your job requires a lot of gaming and hours of typing while you're writing reviews, articles, emails, tweeting, and the like. It may be useful for others to hear your methods for avoiding the condition. So I don't actively try to avoid it?
No. I think it's happening to me, and I don't know how to stop it. So if anyone has advice for Dr. Mitch.
That and scoliosis are definitely happening to all of us, whether we're fighting it or not. Like, I'm hunched over my monitor with my claws out, eyes against my Photoshop or you know Microsoft Word document or Google Calendar.
All do the standing desks.
Yeah.
We could.
Yeah. But, I mean, that wouldn't really help our hands from turning into click.
It could help the scoliosis.
Yeah. It could. Yeah, it could help that.
So the trick, like, a genuine thing to do is be higher than your keyboard and mouse. Like, have your arm straight out rather than, like, down on top of your mouse or, like, trying to think of what is
this obviously,
what
like,
is this motion I'm
making? That's
like,
keyboard cat, I think you're doing,
keyboard,
right?
Or keyboard raptor. Yeah. Keyboard raptor. Yeah, don't peck at your keyboard like you're a raptor with your arms.
Get a nice ergonomic mouse and keyboard, too, if that's your thing.
Orient yourself so your wrist is straight.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't have
I think there are, like, wrist guards that you can wear that are supposed to, like, keep your wrist straight and
so
keep you from...
So every time I see those, I have flashbacks to my childhood where I, like, wiped out rollerblading because it was the same shit you'd put on your hands there.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never, like, thought to myself, oh, I need to avoid getting carpal tunnel.
Me either. I'm just going to let it happen.
No, we're all getting, like, you know, raptor claws, question mark spines, and blindy eyes. Like,
it's my eyes are so bad.
I think they're getting so bad. I have to get glasses eventually.
I'm just going to be blind eventually, I think.
You think so?
Yeah. Because I already wear really thick contacts.
If you were, like, a blind video editor guy, that would be amazing.
That'd be pretty rough.
Fucking magical.
He'd edit my sense of smell? Like, how would that even work?
He's just like Ray Charles editing a video.
Pop-ups and bleep censoring words be in all the wrong places.
Yeah. I need to make my millions before that.
Yeah.
Before that
like, who's going to be the one to tell Damon that it's time to hang it up when his videos are just making like no sense?
He's like, and this is where I added this scene. I'm like, it's all black.
It's not there. It's
There's no Braille for video, sadly. Somebody invent that.
This is from our friend John.
Hey, friend John.
Says, my name is John. I've been listening to your podcast for a couple of years now. I'm 21 this Saturday, the 28th of July.
Happy
was
birthday.
Wondering if I could get a birthday shout out from the closest thing I have to a circle of food friends.
What?
It was sent from his iPad. Can we assume that was a typo and he meant good friends?
Yeah. Okay. I almost like food friends.
My pizza pal.
we're happy, buddies. John. We're thrilled to be your food friends.
Yeah, happy
and
birthday.
We do wish you a very happy birthday.
Don't take 21 shots, no matter what anyone tells you.
He's turning 21.
Yeah.
No, don't take 21 shots.
Don't listen to any of your asshole friends who are not us. Mm-mm.
What did you do on your 21st birthday?
I got trashed.
15 years ago.
Oh my god.
I'm just joking.
No, it was 10 years ago.
Mine was 13 years ago. So.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Mine was 3.
I got trashed in New York with my ex-girlfriend. It was fun. It was pouring rain. I sat at a bar.
Yeah.
21 didn't matter because legal age is 18 where I'm from. So 18 was a mess.
Whole crazy foreign land.
Yeah, no. 18 was a mess. But 21 was like, I'm going to go to work today, I guess.
Yeah, so if 18 is the drinking age, does anything special happen on your 21st birthday? Like car rentals are cheaper? No, it's 25.
Nope.
I don't even
know. You can fly to Vegas.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's nothing you can do in Canada that's fun when you're 21, right? There's no, like, when you're 18, you're like, I can buy cigarettes and go die in the war.
Pretty much, yeah. England's even weirder. Like, you can get cigarettes at 16.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Mitch.
It's so dumb.
Foreign facts.
No, the drinking age in America is ridiculous.
It is.
We were talking about this the other day. Like, you're not legally allowed to drink until you've been in college for 3 years.
That's the dumbest thing in the
right?
world. It's so dumb.
That and speeding are the two most broken laws. Probably.
Like, speeding?
I'd like you to elaborate on the speeding comment.
Yeah. I'm just everyone speeds. Oh. Everyone speeds and everyone drinks before they're 21.
Right.
Put those
Unless,
hands
if you're
together,
under 21, kids, wait till you're 21. But I'm just saying, like, who's a college sophomore that's like, no, I'm waiting. I'm waiting till my next birthday.
But it then, happens.
You've been to Europe, right?
Yeah.
And they don't make a big deal about this.
They don't give a shit.
And it's totally fine. And people aren't just destroyed everywhere constantly. I'm sure there's some bad eggs here and there. But, you know, I have plenty of relatives that live in Europe. And they're like, they come here and they're like, can't drink until you're 21. Why? Why don't you just drink with some sort of respect for it? Not
one of my favorite things to do is, you know, nieces or nephews or family friends that are in their teens or they're 20 or they're turning 21. And then they turn 21. I'm like, oh, congratulations, you're 21. Did it turn out that you like the taste of alcohol?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they just get this really awkward, they don't know how to respond. It's a good joke. Jokes. Telling jokes.
Funnyjokes.com/jokes.
I think I need Andrew here to explain that one to me.
Well, you see.
That's my impression of Andrew.
Work on that. Work on that. He doesn't sound like
he's kind of British.
A dopey. This is Zach Todaro. He says, I'm a longtime visitor of the site. I've been reading and listening since the beginning, at first for cheat codes, and then later for the articles and entertainment.
That was our tagline. Come for the cheat codes, stay for the articles and entertainment.
I recently graduated with a degree in information technology. It's been a dream of mine to work for IGN since I was 16 years old. My question is, does the IGN.com San Francisco office employ any in-house desktop support or tech support positions? I am aware of Code Foo, but development doesn't interest me as much as system administration and support.
Yeah, could you add me to some mailing lists? I've got to do that today.
Yeah.
Sure. We have an IT department, yes.
Yeah. One thing that's interesting about the IGN IT department is that it's almost – are they all ladies or almost all ladies?
I think they're all ladies.
Yeah, I think they're all girls.
And that's just – that's super cool. I mean, it's just interesting. Mm-hmm.
So get a sex change, Zach.
Yeah, that's the.
But we have a job listing site. You can
we
check.
Do. Yeah, it's on the Resumator.
I was gonna say it's the Resumator.
Yeah, and all of our job listings are there. So if you go to theresumator.com and search IGN, you'll see all our jobs.
We're actually hiring a bunch of positions all over the company right now.
Yeah, so. I don't know if we're hiring for IT right now.
Yeah, but, I don't know.
Yeah. We are hiring a video. There are content creation positions open.
Wiki, that is true. So. Video.
Yeah, particularly we're hiring for a wiki editor right now.
Mm-hmm. Hiring some nude nerds too.
Yeah. Yeah, please send your pics. Don't send your hot pics.
Please don't send your hot nude nerd pics to us.
I'm gonna go register that domain now.
Nude nerds,
nude nerds. It must exist.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it must already be taken.
Okay. I'm gonna find out.
Yeah, I'm gonna do a little research.
Okay, this is this is Luke Monahan. We're actually celebrating our second anniversary with Luke right now.
Right now.
Yeah, he says it's our second anniversary. My first scoop was the Comic-Con 2010 episode.
All right. Hey.
I found it while looking for podcasts to listen to on my 2-hour round trip to school. I felt like you guys drove with me to class every day. When I finished that master's, I visited IGN and had lunch with Greg and Damon. It was an awesome way to cap off the degree. So, Damon and the rest who have been a part of GameScoop, thanks for being awesome. I count you all as friends and hope to see you at New York Comic-Con. I think Greg and Colin Moriarty will be going to New York Comic-Con, so get Panda with them.
Cool.
Thanks for listening, Luke.
Yeah.
NewNerds.com is not a website. Mm. It's just got ads.
Okay, so get it.
The domain is taken, but really, the site does not exist.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
That's very anticlimactic.
What about Nerd Nudes?
Yeah.
we're throwing it out there.
Yeah, we're going to figure this out.
This is this listener did not provide their name. He says, I'm a long-time listener, first-time writer. I was listening to an old episode, episode 164, where Mr. Hillary Goldstein ranted about the Prince of Persia movie being awful, which brought about this question. What video games do you think would be successful as full-length theatrical films? The answer, mysterious listener, is none. We don't need any video game movies.
Thank you.
Can't video games just be video games and movies be movies? Like, we don't need any video game movies. They're all terrible.
I agree. I can't think of any that have been like, wow, you nailed it.
Wow, I can't wait for the Assassin's Creed movie and the Deus Ex movie. And I love these games, but I don't want to watch them.
Yeah.
Like, I play games so I can play games. I don't give a shit about watching their movies.
You don't want to see the part in the Assassin's Creed movie where a man hides in a pile of hay for 6 minutes waiting for some cops to walk by?
Justin, I have great news about nerdnews.com.
What's that?
It exists. Oh. And you can view it.
Oh, so now that's on your phone.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I see?
Yeah. Is it worth looking at?
I haven't explored it deep enough yet to confirm or deny.
This is Diego Caicedo. Hey guys, love the show. I was wondering if you guys had any idea why Steam, Amazon, and all these PC distributors are able to have some insane sales, which most of the time include old and recently released titles at largely discounted prices. However, it is very rare to see a sale on PlayStation Network and Xbox Live Arcade, other than a 10 to 20% discount here and there. Why is it so appealing on PC but not on consoles? Well, so first of all, I think you're mistaken, because there's a deal of the week every week on Xbox Live Arcade.
Mm-hmm. But it's just not as extensive as the details.
Of that magnitude, no. But and that's because I think some of those guys are a little late to the game. Like, Nintendo's just now getting around to saying, hey, we've taken a dollar off of Super Mario Brothers for NES on the Wii. Like, it took them ages to get around to that. Whereas Amazon and Steam can do that whenever they want. They're also dealing less with, the overhead of having to ship out with trucks and stuff like that, which Like that's,
well, they don't ship out with Chuck's son like with for Xbox Live Arcade.
No, they don't. But what I'm saying with those platforms is I feel like they're newer and they're still trying to establish their business models, whereas Steam and Amazon are just like, hey, we're making money. Well,
so the big thing is on Xbox, you know, you're not competing with, you know, if you're in your Xbox, that's it. That's the only place you can transact. If you're on your computer, you know, Amazon is competing with Steam, is competing mm-hmm. with Gamersgate. You know, so it's this wide open platform where you have to do what you can to stand out. And so they have to run sales to get the business. But you don't have to do that on a Wii or PlayStation or Xbox.
To that point, though, like, why wouldn't I'm trying to think of a game that came out on both recently. Like, if a game hits PSN and XBLA, why Microsoft could discount it by, like, $2 and entice me to play it on the Xbox 360 rather than the PS3, because I play both.
Yep. Yeah, they certainly could. I mean, I think so. Again, it's trying to get people to download and install Steam. That's what those sales are all about. So I don't know. You know, I don't have any inside information on how Steam sales work, but I'm assuming that some of that's run as a loss leader, right? Like they're.
Oh, it has to be.
Yeah, but
some of those sales are stupid.
Right. Like so, you know, Steam is. My hunch would be that they're not making much money on these sales, but they're getting people to install Steam and use Steam the rest of the year. Whereas an Xbox, you know, if you've bought the Xbox, you've already bought the Xbox. You know, what do they accomplish by putting stuff on sale other than losing money? Like anytime, like if you run a physical sale, you're getting people in your store to buy other shit as well.
That's a really good point.
So there's no, well said. Like, what do they accomplish by putting stuff on sale on Xbox or PlayStation?
Yeah.
What do they accomplish by selling $2 Avatar hats to?
Oh, man.
They've been doing that for years.
Yeah. It's be like
somebody out there is buying that
stuff. It's got to be free money for them.
Mm-hmm. Remember the wall? You can buy a wall for
that. Take cover. Yeah. Battlefield 3.
And that was like $4.
I think it was $5.
$5. Xbox Live Arcade games used to cost $5. I bought Jetpack Refueled for $5.
Oh, man, that game was so good.
Jetpack Refueled, wow.
It was really good.
I don't think I even played
that game.
Wow.
That was like the first XBLA game I obsessed over.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Shit.
I love XBLA.
Me too.
Deadlight, man. Next week.
It's coming.
Yeah.
Is that next week?
Yeah.
This is Matt Benson. Hey, guys. I'm moving down to Las Vegas for my graduate work in environmental health physics. What is environmental health physics?
Something I will never be qualified to do.
Wow. Well, we're not qualified to do much, to be fair.
This is my sole marketable talent.
I couldn't even guess what that is.
environmental health physics.
Yeah. Those are three classes I did not take.
Yeah. You just put together a bunch of words to make a fake
That sounds
one.
Like a video game feature.
It does.
Environmental health physics.
Yeah, improved 20% better in environmental health physics.
Unreal Engine 4.
Anyway, he says, I was wondering if there are any good game conventions that happen in Las Vegas. The only one that I know of is the Classic Gaming Expo that happens there every summer. This year it's from August 11th to the 12th, which I always thought that sounded really cool.
Yeah.
It's just all about the AVN Awards.
Yeah, so the Consumer Electronics Show is in January. It's not a video game show, but there is a lot of video game stuff there.
Is it open to the public?
I don't know.
I don't know that it is. Yeah. But there is the Classic Gaming Expo. This is Randy Garcia. Hi there, my name is Randy Garcia. I have two questions.
I would love to be able to say that in my life. Just to be able to say that my name is Randy Garcia.
I mean, you can.
Yeah, just say,
you can say that.
I mean, genuinely, I could say it.
So what you're saying is you want your name to be Randy Garcia.
Yeah, correct, yeah. Just so I could say that.
Okay.
Sorry, carry on.
He says, I have two questions to ask all of IGN. Well, Randy, I'm afraid we don't have all of IGN
okay, we'll be back. I'll get it.
Available here in this podcast room. But four of us can answer your questions.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Question number one, what is your best movie of all time?
Empire Strikes Back.
That I've made?
That's a very good choice. I know. But Randy Garcia, let's assume English is not his first language.
Okay, but now if it is.
God. Blade Runner or the original Planet of the Apes?
Fuck, both.
Original
really
Planet of the Apes. Wow.
Love that movie.
I mean, blew it up!
Oh, damn you!
I'm kind of mad that Mitch picked Empire Strikes Back. Sorry. Now I have to
you
pick
can
something.
Also pick it. It could also
wanna,
be your best film.
I
want to
pick something different. Pick something different. What I often do is, if you will allow it, Randy Garcia, is combine Kill Bills Volume 1 and 2 and say that's my favorite movie.
Really?
Sure. I marathon through those a couple weeks.
They were originally conceived as one movie. They were filmed as one movie and split up later, so I think that counts.
I haven't seen those movies since they came out, and I remember not liking them at all.
Really? Oh my gosh.
I have them both on Blu-ray. I'm going to give them to you, and you just take an afternoon and just get away from everything in the world and just enjoy them.
I will.
I love those movies.
Man, Quentin Tarantino.
Yep.
What's your best movie of all time, Justin?
I really, really like Fight Club a lot.
Yeah, that used to be my
pick,
too. That's
mine if I couldn't say Empire.
That was me. That was like, you know, 20-year-old me's favorite movie, definitely.
Yeah, that was a very influential movie to me as well.
Me too.
At that time.
I just made my girlfriend watch that for the first time she'd ever seen it, like 3 weeks ago.
You know what's
that would be weird to watch it now for the first time.
It didn't really like blow her mind or anything.
No, but so this is, I've either heard people talk about or I read an article about how that's a movie that resonates with men.
Yeah, I read that.
And not women.
Sure.
It's kind of a boys' club movie.
Sure, I mean, that's,
And I also really, really like Fellowship of the Ring a lot. I didn't like the other two.
No, I mean, I like the other two, but I think the first one is the best.
Yeah. The first one's like one of the best like road adventure movies.
For sure.
Like,
there's, there are cheesy moments to the other movies that sort of pull their overall quality down.
Well, and they, you know, the Fellowship breaks up. So, you know, I really, really like Fellowship of the Ring because they go from point A to B to C. They get into scraps and get out of scraps. You know, it's nice. It's not splitting up with like four different groups of people that they have to keep cutting to. It's a really, really linear story. It's just a really, really good adventure movie.
And there's so much bromance at the end. Like, it's actually, like, it's really affecting to me.
Yeah. I mean, stuff like that doesn't bother me, though.
No, I'm not at all. I was saying that as a good thing.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I appreciated that.
Totally.
I will also say that Die Hard with a Vengeance.
I was just going to say.
It's one of my favorite movies.
You son of a bitch.
No, Max, that actually,
we haven't talked about this, have
this
we?
This actually pertains to Randy Garcia's second question.
Okay.
What is your worst movie of all time?
Oh, no! Are you kidding me? God damn it!
No. Now, Die Hard with a Vengeance is not my worst movie of all time. But it is not a good movie.
It is not a good movie.
We can't worst do this movie again. Of all we time. Can't.
Have you guys ever walked out of a theater?
So
I don't know that I've walked out of a theater.
There was this Johnny Depp movie that came out a few years ago where he was like a gangster or something. I can't remember what it was called.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
But a friend and I went to see that, and we almost walked out like four times because it was like, dude, we need to get the fuck out of here.
Nothing happens.
And the other person would be like, no, let's just stick it out. And we back and forth on that a few times. And by the end of it, when we were ready to walk out, it's like, fuck it, it's over.
I walked to that movie, The Time Machine.
Yeah.
The one that came out like 10 years
Which
ago.
Which one is that?
I think it had the guy that? From – did it have Guy Ritchie in it or something?
Yeah, it was Guy Ritchie.
Yeah.
It was abysmal.
The guy who did the voice for Scar in Lion King was the bad guy. Yeah. Like white, pale dude. Oh, my God. The movie's a terrible movie.
I didn't,
Jeremy Irons?
Yes.
From Die Hard with a Vengeance? One of the greatest movies ever made? Yeah.
Bringing it back, Brian.
This is – yeah.
We –
What?
Justin, your comment about Die Hard with a Vengeance was exactly right. That is the moment when the series went off the rails because Die Hard was about being confined to one location.
Yes. I don't like that. That has to be a rule.
That is what it was.
Yeah,
that's what
that Die Hard was.
Yeah, but that's
and the
so
sequel.
when you lose that, it's not Die Hard. Then it's just an action.
Do you
movie.
Know what the title for Die Hard 2 was?
Die Harder.
Those movies were about dying hard. Oh, yes, it was dumb. a movie called Die Hard is inherently a stupid name, too.
Yeah.
Or the greatest name of all time. It teeters. But those movies, just because they did the same thing two times in a row, where it was in a confined space, doesn't mean that they always have to be in a confined space forever.
Yes,
it does. Battlestar
it?
Galactica was in space for the whole first season. Then they went to New Caprica, and it was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
It was better when they're in
locations
space.
And events can change for the better. That's just progress.
No, it's like,
look. Then it becomes your something
totally
else.
Missing.
Then it becomes.
It's like so now we made a Spy Kids 2, but it's not about spies or kids.
Right.
That's not true because Die Hard 3 was about Dying Hard.
Dying Hard.
It's not like Die Hard 2 is about Spy Kids.
You're getting hung up on the name. It was about being. It was an action movie that took place in one location, just the building.
Oh yeah,
that's because that's what they did for that story. That doesn't mean they're shoehorned into that forever.
They are. Unless it's just an action movie.
That's an arbitrary law we're creating.
No, so you guys apparently missed the whole point of the first movie.
I love the first movie. God.
If we're sticking to that point though, like New York City is the one place.
Exactly.
It's too big. It doesn't work.
What there's like you're making arbitrary. And then
the fourth one was across the whole like Eastern Seaboard. Now the fifth one is worldwide. Yeah. Like it's stupid.
Yeah. No, it doesn't work.
The third one was the start of the shenanigans.
Yes,
you're right.
I love Die Hard for John McClane and how he makes motherfuckers die hard.
Exactly. There's no shenanigans in the third one.
Now
that's ridiculous.
I have a machine.
Well, why don't they make a Die Hard that just takes place in a car?
That's Die Hard.
Yeah, I know.
The first one is flawless. It's also one of my best movies of all time.
It is one of the best movies of all time.
Shoot the glass.
I watch it every Christmas.
There's so many good kills when he like he shoots a guy's kneecaps. Oh god, it's so good.
Yeah. He jumps off the roof with that fucking hose around his waist.
Yeah, dude.
Dude, my favorite part of that movie is when Hans Gruber, the actor?
Alan Rickman.
Alan Rickman, when he does his American accent.
Oh, he sounds so good. And he's so worried. Like, oh, no.
Oh,
you're one of them.
So IGN's Per Schneider can actually do that exact thing where he's got this thick, you know, Eastern European accent, and then he goes and he's just like, "Well, hello guys, how are you?" And he sounds like a fake John Wayne. It's awesome. But yeah, why don't they just make a Die Hard movie that takes place in a car? Just
or an elevator.
I'd like it's to a see confined that. Space. I love my confined spaces.
By that rule, that would be the best Die Hard.
Sure.
Maybe that would work. That would be better.
The point. So what do you want? So they've been trapped in a building. They've been trapped in an airport. What do you want? A mall?
No. So look,
is a mall too big for you?
Too big.
Yeah, I don't know. The point. Maybe I don't know. It could be on a boat.
So the point.
It could be on a spaceship.
Die Hard 3 had portions that were on a boat.
See, it doesn't work.
Die Hard is space.
Part of the whole point is that he's trapped. He can't just choose. Like in Die Hard 3 and 4, he has to choose to be like, well, no one else can do this, so I have to do this. In 1 and 2, he's reluctant. Like, he doesn't want to be there.
He doesn't want to do it.
He can't get out of Nakatomi Plaza. Like, he's trapped in there.
And in Die Hard 2, he's trapped by the elements that is snow.
That's what I'm talking about. In 1 and 2, he's trapped. In 3 and 4,
he could easily
not.
Steal a car from the airport and drive away and be like, oh, fuck this.
But but he chooses to stay there. You're right. I mean, that's why Die Hard 2 is not nearly as good as the first one.
He's trapped in 3 also.
Yeah, he also chooses to
basically
be part
every,
of it.
He
but it's too big.
He can't leave. He can't get away from a situation. God. Otherwise, explosions will go off and innocent people will die. He's trapped inherently in that film.
Anyway. In 1 and 2, he's physically trapped. He has limited resources. He has to use sort of what's at his disposal instead of being able to use anything in New York City that he wants to use.
And he's alone.
But he
doesn't have some like wise ass kid partner like he does in the fourth one.
Oh, that's like he does in the first one? And the second one?
No. When he's talking to Argyle
he's alone.
And Al?
Whatever.
He's alone.
Argyle if you say another bad word about Argyle,
he's on the phone with Reginald Bell Johnson for half the movie.
But he's not there with them.
Yeah.
No, but he got all the cops to come in.
I don't know. Why are you defending 4? You hate 4.
No,
you're defending 4 right now.
I'm defending 3.
I'm talking about 3. He has like part.
Okay, because in 3 he's got the wise crack.
And that
Samuel
also,
Jackson.
That's also a problem with it. He doesn't need a partner. It should just be John McClane.
Yeah.
What if it was Reginald Vell Johnson instead of Samuel Jackson in 3?
He should just be helping him from afar.
Carl Winslow's in that movie instead. What's everyone? No complaints anymore.
Yeah, no, that's kind of true. No.
See, Justin Cave.
I mean, I have a weakness for Carl Winslow.
Even though Damon and Justin are wrong, I'm really glad that we can have this conversation about how fucking awesome Die Hard movies are.
Yeah, they really are.
All three Die Hard
the first one is perfect.
Yeah,
correct. It's a flawless film.
Yeah. The third one
at least
is
we
also
can all agree
a flawless film. And the second one is almost as good.
And Die Hard is, I feel like some people like it ironically, but Die Hard is legitimately...
There's nothing ironic
like,
about
changed,
Die Hard.
It changed action movies forever. Like, action movies before that were Schwarzenegger, invincible guys. Like, Die Hard gave you a hero that could be hurt and would get hurt. Like, he's vulnerable and sarcastic. And
by the end, when he's walking down the hallway with the gun, hi, honey!
Dude, yeah. So, he starts at the movie with a perfectly white wife beater.
Yeah.
And then it gets dirtier and dirtier as he goes on through the movie.
Yeah,
and then by the end of the movie, it's like green. It's like so dirty and dirty.
Yeah. And
have any of you guys ever seen Die Hard with the director's commentary on?
No.
Okay. It is amazing because that dude, as much as I love
John McTiernan?
Yeah. He thought that he was making like the most artistic film of all time. He's like, the way we filmed this here with the dynamic angles coming in, as you can see when he's talking to Holly, she's in the other room and it's showing their separation of character. And you're like, no, actually, it's Die Hard.
I love that he checks out that woman's ass at the very beginning of the movie in the airport.
Oh, there are so many good touches in Die Hard.
Yeah, there's no reason
for
that.
And he's got something like,
come
calendar.
Out to the coast, love if you laugh, have a good time.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
Fucking
I
want to
watch it now, but I want to save it for Christmas because I got
I know, it's a
Die
Christmas
Hard's an anytime film.
Christmas is too far away. Watch Die
and
Hard this
all
weekend.
All the time film.
Do you know why I mentioned Spy Kids?
No.
Because maybe sometime this week, BuzzFeed posted a photo of the girl from Spy Kids. She's 23 now.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm.
Super hot with huge boobs.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Yeah. Recently divorced.
That stuff messes with me.
At 23.
Yeah.
Well.
Look her up. Anyway, let's move on. Worst movie of all time. I don't really want to talk about worst
movies. Yeah, I can't think of like
Mortal
no
Kombat
worst
Annihilation.
Movie.
Yeah, I know. There's like, we've all seen bad movies.
Definitely Magnolia.
Magnolia was bad.
That's true.
Oh, there are frogs falling.
Vanilla
we
sky.
Can't resolve any plot. Throw frogs on it.
Throw frogs on it.
This is another video game movie question. We'll skip that one.
Sorry, that guy.
What are we saying here? Oh, yeah. This is Nathan Manning. He says, my name is Nathan. I'm 15 and from Australia. I've listened to your show for about 3 years now. Well, that's crazy to think that there are like 12-year-olds listening to our show.
Also, can you read this in an Australian accent? Please.
Oi. My name is Nathan. I'm 15 and from Australia. I've listened to your show for about 3 years now and love every episode.
This is amazing.
I have a small question for you all. When I finish a video game, I always watch the credits all the way through. I feel that even though I don't remember all the names, I should acknowledge the people who contributed to the creation of something I've played for several hours. So I ask you this. Do you watch the credits when you finish a video game?
Wow. Wow. So you just earned your I did Jewish Brian Altano on Knockin' Boots once, and every single day someone tweets me, they're like, why don't you do Jewish Brian Altano again? You're Australian Damon Hatfield. You're going to be plagued forever now. That was amazing. That I didn't know you had phenomenal. That in you.
I didn't know I had that in
you
either.
You almost like, you need to do a whole video.
You really committed
to that. Chop down down under.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's, yeah. Maybe, yeah.
I love how Elon Musk can join
maybe
us.
Maybe there's an Up at Noon character I can
that's
I can
amazing. What was the question?
The question is, do you watch the credits when you finish a game?
Oh, no, I walk away. Yeah.
Really?
Sorry. Yeah, yeah. Me too. I don't know. It's a list of names, and I appreciate the work they did, but I don't think they get anything out of me watching it.
Well, I let them roll, and I pay attention just in case there's something.
There's usually something crazy afterwards.
Exactly. Yeah, hopefully there's something afterwards.
It's not a Marvel movie. What are you talking about?
It's a video game.
Usually
it goes to the press start screen.
Nah. Mm-mm. Clearly, you've never played a Metal Gear Solid game.
Actually, a lot of NES games, when you beat them, they just stop.
Yeah.
And it was like, thanks!
Thanks for playing.
It's just frozen. You're like, okay.
You have to turn
it
off.
You hit the buttons a few times, and then you had to hit reset.
Yeah. Metal Gear Solid 4 should have gone to the start screen. Instead, it had an hour of some fucking bullshit
I don't watch the credits either. I feel like kind of a chick. Like, I would want people to, like, read the byline when I write an article, right? Yeah. But then I don't watch credits.
I loved old video games when they ended and they would just show you all the enemies that were in the game.
Yeah,
like,
me
they
too.
Were part of the cast.
I really...
It's the spiky red.
I really, really love Super Mario 64's credits where it goes through... It gives you a little vignette of every single world in the game.
Yeah, and then, Super Mario World does that really well, too.
Yeah,
definitely watch, like, any kind of creative credit sequence, though.
And I think... Yeah, the reason I really like Mario 64 is that game's actually not, like, that big. Like, you could burn through it and get 70 stars or 120 stars pretty quickly. But, like, everyone was new to 3D and I was a young kid and didn't have that much time to play games. Like, I played that game for weeks before
I
got
that game
to the
for
end.
Years.
Yeah. But I mean, like, before I saw the credits.
Right.
And so then, like, you're seeing all these worlds, and it's like, oh, shit. Like, mm-hmm. It was just a really, really cool moment.
Yeah. I remember reading the credits to old Nintendo games, and it would be like, thanks to Mario Club. I was like, what the hell is that? How do I get in? It sounds like the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah.
Mario Club? It's a club full of people that get to play Mario games before they come out? That's crazy. And my parents didn't have any answers.
Mom, Dad, what is this Mario Club?
What is this elusive Mario Club?
Yeah, you're holding out on me.
Do your homework.
Also, take me to the wizard.
Yeah.
This is Frederick Ballesteros.
Whoa.
Wow.
Who we heard from a couple podcasts ago. We were talking about how much we liked his name. He says, I want to thank you for saying how cool my name is a couple podcasts ago. My brother and I used to play a game on the Super Nintendo where you started in a town and you had to leave the town to start on a quest. But to leave the town, you had to fight the first boss, which was a giant Cyclops, I believe.
Oh.
It was an RPG. My brother and I loved it, but we can't remember the name for it.
I have two ideas.
Wow. What are they?
So I don't know if it's like side scrolling or top down, but it could be Faxanadu, or it could be.
No, he said Super Nintendo.
Oh, Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
Shit.
I love how, Cyclops, if you don't know RPG. What it is, like, just Google, like, Super Nintendo RPG Cyclops first boss, and it'll probably work. Like,
yes. I'm on the case. Back to the
nothing comes to my mind.
No. Like, if I want to know something, what I don't do is email a podcast and then wait weeks to get my answer.
That's a very old school, like, very, like, 1980s archaic way of doing things.
Yeah, but that does remind me of, I mean, I'm not making fun of it, because it reminds me you know, you just have these fractured memories of games, and, like, you vaguely remember it. Like, you know it happened, you know it existed, but you don't remember any.
I used to love reading Nintendo Power, and it would be like, how do I get the green crystal in Fortress 3-2?
Yeah.
And, like, that magazine at the time came out, like, once every 3 months.
Yeah.
So there's just some kid sitting there, paused, and he's like, all right, any moment now. That magazine's going to come in the mail.
And then
I have results, but go on.
Well, I was just going to say that information is not relevant to, like, 98% of the people reading the magazine.
No.
Like, it's all, like, out of context.
I used to read that to the counselor's corner and just be like, sucks for you.
Yeah.
Why are you playing Dick Tracy for NES trying to find the gold hat? And I don't know where that is.
So the vast majority of the Google results for this are X-Men games. because of goddamn Scott Summers.
Yeah. Freaking Cyclops, man.
Did anyone play Lagoon?
No.
I don't know what Lagoon is, but that's a result.
Okay.
Lots of X-Men, Power Rangers, Ghosts and Goblins. I feel like that can't be it.
It would be...
No.
That wasn't an RPG.
It would be Ghosts and Ghosts for,
yeah.
For Super NES.
And I think the first boss was a big bird.
But not the Big Bird.
No. It was Big Bird.
Birdo. Big Birdo.
Haunted Snuffleupagus.
Sorry. I have no response.
All right. This is David Purdy from New York, New York. Do you know him, Brian?
No, I don't.
Okay. He says, "Hey guys, my best friend and I want to make a game. We have some really great ideas, and we sincerely feel we have something to bring to the table as a creative team in the gaming world. The only problem is, I'm an actor and he's a writer. We have absolutely no training in respect to writing code or computer animation. We don't know what the first step is. Is there some sort of software we can buy? Some way we can learn how to make our own games without having to go to college? This is something we're very passionate about and very much want to pursue."
So what's the thing the dudes here use Unity for?
Yeah. Google.
Oh, Google.
No, yeah, there's what's the game that teaches you how to code?
So there's a game called Code Hero that you can buy that I actually kickstarted it and got the game, but I never, I haven't had a chance. I paid for it and have done nothing with it so far. So games are made in a lot of different programming languages, depending on the platform, depending on blah, blah. One of the best places to start is often Flash. You know, you can teach yourself Flash, and then Flash has all these interactive, APIs and blah, 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 and that's how they make Flash games. Like, that's how you could make something like, Angry Birds or whatever with Flash.
Super Meat Boy.
Yeah, Super Meat Boy. Well, yeah, Meat Boy started as a Flash game. And that's more and more and more common these days, so.
You could also, partner with a programmer. Get on Craigslist. Yeah. Find yourself a programmer to work with.
Yeah, so, that's a tough question to answer because, there's as many ways to make a game as the day is long, I guess.
Yeah, I think we'd have to know more about what kind of game he wants to make. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's programs like RPG Maker, which are super easy to jump into.
Yep, so that's
what you want.
There are some
they're actually pretty in-depth.
They don't require programming.
That's true. That is true.
Look at Flash, look at Unity. Those are good ways.
Oh, there's Game Salad too, right?
Yeah, there's a service called Game Salad.
That's like a drag and drop game creation software that actually lets you make iOS games, I believe.
It does. Cool. Yeah. It does. I wrote about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, there's that.
Oh, there also XNA on Xbox Live Arcade.
Is that still a thing?
Yeah. I was just going to say, are they still doing that?
Yeah. Indie games come out every day.
I know, but are they all XNA games?
They have to be.
Okay.
You can only release XNA games on Indie Channel.
Applejack was a really good XNA game.
Oh, God, wasn't it?
This is Lucas Martin. He says, "I'm wondering what a good... Metroid-style games are. Metroid Zero Mission was my favorite game on Game Boy Advance. Before that, it was Metroid Fusion. I wish Nintendo would just keep making GBA Metroid games. I played Shadow Complex. That was an amazing game. Any more on Xbox, PC, or PS3? So, Lucas, play Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet.
Oh, man, yeah.
On Xbox Live Arcade.
That game's awesome.
Totally a Metroidvania game.
There's the Rochard on PSN. It's also on
Steam.
That
game is awesome.
It's a little bit like
that.
You
guys are so good at this.
Shantae.
Oh, there is Shantae. Yeah, that's described as Metroidvania.
Describe it as that. In that you have a sort of a free world to go around, but areas become unlocked based on the things you get. There's the map screen and the items will get you into new
Shantae
sections.
Shantae is DSiWare.
Yeah, it's also on iPhone now too.
It's on the App Store
and iPad. And if you can get a DS or a 3DS, please play all of the Castlevania games that came out.
Well, yeah.
Really? Were those good?
They're
amazing.
All the DS ones are fantastic.
I'm very new to Castlevania.
Oh, yeah.
I've never been big on it, so I play Symphony.
Symphony of the Night and all the GBA and DS ones. Well, not all of them, but...
You should play Symphony of the Night on XBLA.
Yeah.
I played it on my PSP.
Symphony of the Night is my second favorite game of all time.
That's an amazing game.
Yeah, it's incredible.
And Super Metroid is my favorite.
The great thing about the DS... Castlevania games is that they use a second screen as a map, and it makes all the difference. Like if in Metroid you're hitting start a lot to figure out where you are and look at the map screen, like this, you just glance down. It's actually I don't know if I'll ever want to play a traditional Metroid or Castlevania that isn't like that. It makes a world of difference. So I'll bring them in for you, Mitch.
Darksiders 2 is out soon.
I'm bringing you a whole bunch of shit.
That's okay. So Darksiders 2 is out. That's to a lesser extent. It's not nearly as simple as those, obviously, but it's big open world, lots of backtracking, lots of new skills.
That's true.
Built on the same ideas. The upcoming Lords of Shadow 3DS game sort of does that
does
same.
It? Yeah. Is it that sort of?
The art style's a little different. The camera's pulled back a little bit third person, but the map screen's definitely identical to a Metroidvania style game. I love those games.
So I play a lot of indie games. I like a lot of indie games. I follow the scene. and I love that indie game makers are kind of obsessed with Super Metroid. And that's what they do. They make nonlinear 2D platformers where you gain items and then, you know, open up the game world as you go. Yep. I'm having a really hard time, like Cave Story,
Sword
obviously. Yeah.
For iPhone.
Yep.
Sordigo?
Sordigo.
Yeah.
I think it's free.
I say Sordigo.
Sordigo? Sordigo? Whatever it is.
I don't know what it is.
Sword it out.
Sword?
Yeah,
like a sword. S-W-O-R-D-I-G-O. Yeah. It's free. I probably put 25 hours into that game. It's kind of Metroidvania Zelda style.
Oh, fuck. Fez.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Fez.
Oh, I don't know. Really?
No, because you don't get
skills, but there's lots of exploration and coming back to places. Yeah. And,
I don't know. That's a great game. I don't know that I would describe it as Metroidvania. But
You said Cave Story?
Cave Story.
Yeah, that absolutely falls under that umbrella. Yeah. You can play it for free on PC.
Uh-huh.
Yep. And I believe it's on...
It's on 3DS. Uh-huh.
It's on 3DS. It's also on WiiWare.
Yep.
And it's on DSiWare.
It's on Steam now, too, if you want to
avoid the try to avoid the actual physical cart version on 3DS.
Really?
I mean, you could. It has the original art style in it, but it's got this just really clunky. It looks like an N64 game. They redid the whole art. It loses all the pixel art appeal to it. It's all polygonal. Like, I don't... You can avoid it.
Polygonal?
Polygonal.
Polygonal.
Really?
Polygonal.
I pronounce it polygonal.
Yeah.
Whoa!
Polygonal is like an extra syllable. I swear to go.
What do you mean it's an extra syllable?
It's not an extra
syllable. No, it does sound really polygonal. Polygonal.
Polygonal.
Do you say... You say polygamy.
Yeah. Do you say, look at all those polygons?
Nope. No, polygons?
Polygon.
Shenanigans?
Yeah.
Polygons.
Polygamy.
All right. You sound like the origami killer. Origami.
Our last two emails are going to swing the topic back to movies here.
Okay.
This is Justin Doss. So he wants to know what our thoughts on, what are the worst movie in each of these franchises?
Uh-oh.
Alien franchise, including Alien vs. Predator.
Including
Alien vs. Predator.
Oh, then Alien vs. Predator 1.
Yeah.
The Alien vs. Predator 2 whichever
R,
was.
Whatever.
The one where the kid loses his keys in the sewer and he has to go down there and then there's aliens. That's one of the worst.
There's aliens in
the
sewer.
Worst movie of
all
time?
That movie needed was frogs to fall in the middle of it. And, yeah. That movie is abysmal.
I never saw either of the Alien vs. Predator
movies. Oh my god. The first one's bad. The second one is just laughably atrocious. Like you won't be able to make it through it. It's an endurance test, Damon. Sit down and try and watch that movie. See how far you can get before you go, no.
You can't help but endure.
So wait, what's the ones?
All right, what's the worst movie in the Christopher Nolan Batman series?
Third one.
First one.
You guys are...
I love them all, but Begins is the weakest.
Yeah, by far. You're probably the only person on Earth that would argue that.
That's not true. That's absolutely not true. A lot of people hate Rises
because of reasons I don't understand.
I mean,
I wasn't crazy about Rises, but I thought
it was better than Begins.
I think Rises is my favorite.
Rises is not a Batman movie.
He's hardly in it. There's that.
Yeah.
Do you read Batman comics?
Okay. Instead of spoiling a movie that came out a week ago for a bunch of people that probably haven't seen it yet.
Yeah,
many Batman comics involve Bruce Wayne being Bruce Wayne.
We've all seen it.
Yeah, we can keep it pretty spoiler-free. Yeah, I didn't like Dark Knight Rises. I was on a One Up podcast talking about how I don't like Dark Knight Rises. I think Batman Begins. I go back and forth whether I like it more than Dark Knight. Uh-huh. I think Dark Knight without the Joker, without Heath Ledger Joker, is not that great.
How can you say that? That's like saying a turkey sandwich without turkey.
Well,
is not a good sandwich.
I think the point, like Justin's making a good point. Like I don't think. In the Christopher Nolan Batman movies, Batman is very interesting, and I don't think Christian Bale is very interesting as Batman.
Nope.
Like he's not, it's like The Dark Knight was awesome because of the Joker, and Dark Knight Rises, Bane is the best part of that movie.
Absolutely. Well, in the 80s and 90s, when there were Batman movies coming out all the time, and they all had different Bruce Waynes and different Batmans, I would always have the argument with my friends about, like, you know, he made a great Batman but a terrible Bruce Wayne, or he made a great Bruce Wayne. Like, I thought Michael Keaton was a great Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
I didn't think he was a great Batman.
Something Batman movies are really bad about doing is capturing like the asshole playboy side of Bruce Wayne. They kind of did that in Begins when he kicks the people out of his party or whatever.
Yep.
Yeah.
But man, he is like the Bruce Wayne persona that he adopts is such a sleazy bastard.
Yeah.
But they never do anything with it.
So they so the Nolan Batman movies get a pass for a lot of stuff. Everyone talks about how amazing they are and how they handle all these themes, but there's shit in all three of those movies that you're like, oh yeah, people just kind of block it out. There's that terrible boat scene with the convicts in Dark Knight.
That's the thing. I loved Dark Knight is so good for Act One and Act Two.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And then it just falls apart at the end. Like,
but yeah. I thought that the fighting in all of them got progressively better. Yeah. I thought in the first one, it's
like shaky cam. It's too close.
It's like Bourne Identity where you can't even tell what's going on. It's just everything's zoomed in. I didn't really care for like Ra's al Ghul as a villain or anything they did.
He's awesome.
It was okay. It's just, you know, and then Scarecrow made the whole world trip out. Like,
yeah.
I appreciate how they try to create these worlds that are sort of grounded in reality and not just comic book movie. Whereas by the third one, it totally was just like over the top comic booky.
I don't know. I bought into it. I saw that as something that could potentially happen.
Sure.
Yeah.
It was a little elaborate, but
anyway.
Yeah.
The third franchise he wants us to weigh in on. Worst movie in the Mission Impossible franchise. Gotta be two.
Yeah, it's two.
Two is such a joke. Yeah. That was the John Woo one.
Yeah. How many are there? Four?
Four.
Yeah.
There are four?
The new one's good.
New one's
four is awesome.
I like the newest one.
I agree that two is the worst. I think most people think three is the worst, and I love three.
Three is awesome.
Three is great.
I have to see three again. It didn't make a huge impression on me when I saw it.
I thought the villain, Philip Seymour Hoffman,
he was great.
Diabolical as shit.
Yeah, he was awesome.
And like the opening of the movie is really good. Like it's got the cold open with him like already captured, and he's got the thing in his brain. He's counting down to 10, and Tom Cruise is freaking out. I don't know. I like that movie gets a lot of hate, and I don't see how or why. That movie's great.
Is that J.J. Abrams?
Yeah, and it's got good, you know, so the Mission Impossible trope is the costumes and the voices and the masks and everything, right? And it gets overdone, but it's, like, used really well in the third movie where he's dressed up as Philip Seymour Hoffman. And it's so tense and his voice thing hasn't activated yet. And he's in the bathroom and he's, like, he can't speak.
I'll have to see that one again.
Oh, that's what made four great, too, because they build it up like, oh, we're going to do this again. But no, like, the masks fuck up. And One, by the way, is a really underappreciated movie. Mission Impossible 1.
I think it's pretty appreciated.
So I watched that recently, and I didn't think it held up very well.
Really?
I loved it at the time, but it's kind of dated.
The scene where he lowers into that's like one of the most iconic movie scenes of our generation, I'd say. It's very appreciated.
Okay. I just think it's a very intelligent spy movie.
Yeah.
Very different from the rest, though.
It is. Our final email this week comes from Joe Refus. It's again about The Dark Knight Rises. He says, I loved it. But, spoilers, I feel as though Arkham City ruined the twist of the end for me. So I knew from that game that Ra's al Ghul had a daughter, not a son, so I was fully aware that Bane wasn't his child. Mm-hmm. I feel like my experience would have been enhanced if I had waited to play the game until after seeing the movie. Did anyone else experience this?
So this is like the constant struggle with comic book movies, right? Because you're adapting material that exists.
Yeah.
And you're at the same time trying to bring in new fans and service people who know what's going on. That's like an impossible balance. When How do you surprise?
It's like in Lord of the Rings. You know, spoilers, Gandalf didn't really die. Right.
I kind of bought into it. Like, I knew the Talia al Ghul story, but I thought, oh, they made Bane his son. I bought into it. I was like, oh, they're changing it. I thought that was a great idea.
Yeah.
And then they're like, nope, just kidding. It's a thing you expected.
Nolan can kind of do whatever he wants. So I was. It plants the seed that, like, well, that's probably Talia, but you don't know for sure.
Right.
So it didn't. You know, for all the problems I have with that movie, that's not one of them.
I will say that when she fucked Batman, there was no context there whatsoever. It was just like, hey, I gave your Wayne people some money a few years ago. Cool, let's go bang out by my fireplace. Okay. And then it has his vacation with Catwoman at the end. That shit was dumb.
That was really
vacation.
Dumb.
That's his new life.
Really?
Yeah.
He met a cat burglar who's a crazy person and probably works at a brothel.
Well, he's as crazy as she is.
They had like maybe 2 minutes of screen time together in the whole movie, and they're like, "Oh, we're gonna go."
I didn't get any chemistry there between them.
Yeah, I agree.
We're gonna retire forever.
I was just thinking about that. Like, do those two have a happy life together now? Are they gonna be like, "Well, let's
they're just miserable
do,
with each
like,
other."
Gonna, like, are they gonna get jobs? Like,
she worked at a brothel, right? That's what that was.
They
right?
didn't in that film. So. They did not specify. But yeah.
Okay, so
Kyle
Johns would come to this place and then get upset that their watches got stolen. Were they coming over to watch movies and eat popcorn and hang out or bang out? With her and her weird, almost lesbian friend.
Yeah. Right?
Right.
I agree with that. That character was pointless.
Yep.
We went over this. Never mind.
There's no reason why she's wearing cat ears either. There's just the whole thing.
The cat ears are her goggles.
Why is she wearing goggles?
So she can see at night.
She flips them down.
Half of that movie is during the day. She's outside on a bicycle.
Not at night.
I mean, I'm not going to defend you. I'm with you on this. Okay. I'm just saying those questions have answers. That's all I'm saying.
They don't, but...
And Dark Knight spoilers.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry. That lasted. Yeah, Dark Knight, man. That's very disappointing.
It was. Anyway, I believe those are all the scoops that we have for you this week. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Mitch. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, dear listeners. I leave you this week with the latest from Skrillex. This is his remix of Going In by Birdie Nam Nam. It's pretty different from what Skrillex normally does, and it's pretty awesome. My name is Damon. This is IGN GameScoop, and we're out. For the night, fuck being polite. I'm going.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.